This production is designed to be listened to in stereo. For the most immersive listening experience, please use headphones. This episode contains strong language and depictions of violence that some listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised.
You said it was less than 30 seconds to swim in.
What? Too much for you? Come on! Over there!
The two thieves collapse onto the rocky shore of the grotto, drinking in gulps of air like a starving beggar handed pale soup.
Grotto. Should be under the tower.
How do you know about this, Wayne, anyway?
You know that barmaid
from the Thirsty Goat? Or Helly, or Nelly, or Penny, or some shit?
You mean Lynn?
Oh, that's it, Lynn.
Yeah.
And yours, close.
Penny and Lynn.
Well, anyways, turns out during one of his trips to court, Davos had taken a fancy to her.
Ended up spending a lot of time in this tower of his. Wasn't sure why a pretty young thing like that agreed to pleasuring the old wart at first. Well, anyways, the way I hear it, old Davy has got a bit of a specific appetite to him. And Lynn here ends up being of a certain persuasion. Oh, here, change into this.
This?
Some dry gear. Kept them in the pack we got off Demi and his crew. Keeps them from getting wet. Can't be slopping about all over the tower.
What about...
Brought my own too.
You brought an extra set for me?
Yeah. I knew you'd be too stupid to think that far ahead. Oh. Well, like I was saying, one day, Lynn. Decides to go peeking through some of Davos's more valuable commodities. She'd been pocketing odds and ends from him since the start. She wasn't one for charity when it came to amorous congress, if you hear me. But it seems as though Davos was fine-tuning a blind eye. What most people don't know is that she's got a taste for moonsaults. That's why half her face is all fucked up. I can't even smile right.
I thought you said she was pretty.
Now, she starts going through Davos's personal stash, but Davos catches her.
Are you sure
Davos... He's still in Durnhill. Thad's been tailing him for weeks now. Little Leech knows his routine inside and out. He won't be back until morning. Let's get moving. The sooner we're in and out, the sooner Corvo gets his fancy box, and the sooner we get paid.
The companions rise, searching the unyielding stony walls. Gentry's eyes scan the cavern, lingering on the center pool from which they entered.
Don't go getting cold feet on me now. Start seeing if you can find a way into the tower. In and out, you hear?
Yeah. Yeah. I hear. Wait. If Davos caught Lynn, how does she get out?
He caught her, but he didn't catch her. Loses his mind, he does. Starts screaming at her, demanding to know what she took. So she bolts. Davos chases her like a madman all the way down here. She knows that it's either dive into the water or get turned into something unnatural. So she dives in and just starts swimming.
Makes it through that little tunnel, not unlike present company here,
and finds herself just off the shore of Quillstone Lake.
And she told you all this then?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
She got all sweet on me a fortnight back. Lovely gal. Well, shame about her face.
Why would she get all sweet on you, of all people?
Told her she had a nice smile.
The older thief grins at his conquest of the moonsault-addled girl.
So, we're looking for a box.
Fancy box.
Does it do anything?
I don't know. It gets us filthy rich.
That's what it does.
Why does Corvo want it?
Didn't ask.
Why not?
We don't need to know, and he wouldn't have told us anyway.
Well, aren't you a bit... curious, though? Why would Davos have something Corvo wants?
All I care about is getting that box, getting paid, and keeping my skin.
Keeping your skin? What do you mean, keeping your skin?
Corvo flays people that botch a job.
He flays people? Mm. As in, tears off their skin?
Yep.
He flays people?
Yes.
You might have mentioned that.
Just did, didn't I?
Would he flay all three of us? You, me, and Sat? Or just...
Stop asking questions and go that way. See if you can find a way in. I'll go this way. The girl said there would be a door.
The two split up, Gentry lost in thought at the possibility of being undressed from his skin. He approaches a curtain of moss that glows with a dispassionate green light.
Haven't seen Vexil moss since I was a kid. Not humid enough most places. We used to...
Gentry glances over his shoulder, realizing he talks to no one in particular. He steps towards the moss, and a sharp crack rings out underfoot. He looks down. Bones litter the ground around him. He stumbles backwards, crying out and landing on the carnal ground. Torn clothing and tenuous sinew still cling to the remains. Some of it seems particularly fresh.
Ilya!
Ilya pulls him from the carnage, bones splintering as they give way to Gentry's weight.
Ilya! It's a fucking graveyard down here!
Well, we don't know. It could be animals or...
Ilya! There are fucking human skulls!
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Looks like old Davos has got himself quite a collection down here. Unlucky sods.
I thought Davos was just one of those book mages that spend their days studying.
Everyone needs a hobby.
What? Ilya, look. There's a ladder behind the moss.
A fucking ladder. That'd be nice to know, Lynn. Look for a ladder and then a door. Oh. Up we go, then.
A trapdoor sits above them at the top of the climb. Gentry pushes it gently and is surprised to find it unlocked. The two thieves emerge into a stone chamber, its walls lined with towering bookshelves full of tomes and scrolls. A leather-bound book lies open on a heavy oaken desk, the script on its pages glinting in the candlelight. Pedestals are scattered throughout the space, displaying curious trinkets and oddities. Centuries of magical study saturate the very stones of this sanctuary. The air itself, thick with knowledge and power.
Get a move on. I'll check what he's got on the pedestals. You go check that door and keep watch.
said Davos won't be back until morning.
That don't mean no one else is in the tower, genius. You ever stop to think before you talk? That group in the grotto is not the type of bone party I'm interested in joining. You keep watch. I'll look around.
It's locked. And there's no handle. It looks like a handprint's been worn into the center. Won't budge.
Just listen for anyone coming.
All right. Fine.
A faint smirk spreads across Ilya's face as he turns his hungry eyes towards the room's treasures.
So, what does this fancy box look like again?
Well, small. About the palm of your hand. Black metal. Gold inlay. Corvo called it an Aldaz coffer. It's icy to the touch, though. And if you hold it, they say you can hear it whispering to you.
Whispering? Whispering what?
Well, no idea. We haven't had the pleasure of speaking yet.
So, it's a cold, talking, fancy box. But it only talks if you hold it. Guess I'll go and hold every box in this tower then.
Shut up.
Why does Corvo want it anyway? I wouldn't want to cross Davos. Even before the bodies.
You do realise you're quite literally in Davos's tower to rob him as we speak, don't you?
Yeah, but... Well, I mean, Corvo's the one in charge of all this.
And you think if Davos came back right now, you telling him that would make you pals? That knowing you aren't the brains of the operation, he'd just let you walk on out of here?
Well, I mean, he might.
You're an idiot.
Nothing on these. Gonna check the desk.
Gentry notices that several pedestals no longer bear the artifacts they did mere moments ago. He glances at Ilya, flipping through the pages of the leather-bound book. His pack is noticeably fuller.
All right. Watch the door while I line my pockets. Seems right fair. What was that?
An almost imperceptible melody pulls his attention from his self-indulgent partner. A single, smooth stone lies unimpressively on a pedestal. Gentry walks over, Ilya still enraptured with the tome's contents.
Looks like Davos has been up to some dark shit.
Gentry picks the stone up off the pedestal. It feels almost familiar.
Ilya, did you see this stone? It's warm.
Great. We need one that's icy and talks to you and is a box.
Gentry looks down at the stone and drops it silently into his pocket.
Better than nothing, I guess.
Gentry walks over to the desk, one hand still on the smooth, reassuring stone.
Oh, listen to this. My experiments continue to yield progressive, yet incomplete results. The Durnhill woman
showed remarkable progress, though her soul clung stubbornly to its mortal coil. Feeding her a combination of Lannister oil, pilgrim wax, and Vexil moss extract seemed to strengthen her through preparation. However, like those before, her body could not withstand a secondary host. Her flesh simply unraveled. The Eldar's coffer alone may not be powerful enough. Most vexing. Still, I grow closer. My stockpile has begun to dwindle, though my pet has been most accommodating in securing supplies, despite Renthyr's insistence we refrain from his workforce. Soon, though, I shall solve this issue of transference.
Fallen lady. He's got to be experimenting on folks. Explains all those remains in the grotto. And this was dated almost a year ago.
What's the most recent entry?
Not sure.
After this one, it looks mostly like glyphs and drawings that are... a gentry. Why aren't you watching the door?
Gentry! What the hell's is that?
An orb of silver light floats into the center of the study. It has no discernible eyes, although it feels as if it peers at them.
I think that's a mort. They're like those ones that pop up to guide you in the forest, but they're supposed to protect you by warning you of danger.
So is it protecting this room or us?
I don't know.
Can it hurt us?
I don't know.
Can it see us?
I don't know.
The fuck do you know, then?
As if in response, the orb floats over to the trapdoor to the grotto. For a moment, it pauses before disappearing beneath the floor.
I think it wants us to leave. Should we? Maybe it's protecting us from something in the tower.
Or it's trying to protect the tower from us.
The orb floats back up through the floor, before once more disappearing through the trapdoor. It repeats this cycle over and over.
Rule of thumb, gentry. Don't take orders from flying balls of light.
Ilya walks over to the orb as it continues its endless cycle of floating through the trapdoor. As it rises, Ilya swipes his hand through the orb, where it dissipates silently.
Ilya!
What? You wanted to leave it behind us? Lighting up our way out?
What if it was trying to help us?
Well, now we know. That way is the way out. Thanks, Lightball. Let's go. We need to check the rest of the tower.
Ilya walks over to the door, pushing on it with both hands. It denies him. He attacks it with his shoulder. But try as he might, it won't move. Gentry's hand absently finds the warmth of the stone in his pocket. He stares at the door. The desire to touch it nearly impossible to resist. He reaches out slowly. Something calls to him, urges him on. Gentry pushes Ilya away, placing a hand on the door. Warmth radiates through his hand, the stone he holds almost sighing with satisfaction. The door creaks outward, obedient, giving way to the ancient circular chamber beyond. Gentry looks at Ilya, whose eyes are narrowed.
How do you do that?
The stone Gentry clutches in his pocket pulses with indignant warmth. Ilya had overlooked it once, and now it seemed the stone wanted nothing to do with him.
I don't know. It opened.
So you just pushed on it then, yeah? And it just opened for you?
What?
Without so much as a magical please, then?
Yes.
There's something you ain't telling me.
No, I mean, it just opened. I don't know. It just opened. Should we go in?
Yeah. Yeah. After you.
Gentry slips past the thief's outstretched arm into a large circular room. Four massive pillars ring the chamber, their surfaces etched with faded runes that seem to shift in the flickering torchlight. Iron sconces bracket each column, their flames casting long shadows that writhe across the granite walls.
This place is massive. How are we supposed to find a little box in here?
Ilya eyes the dancing shadows along the tower walls warily as he pulls out a moonstone. The soft blue glow illuminates his rough features. He might have been handsome once. He tosses it to Gentry.
Take this.
Who misses, fumbling the stone through his clumsy fingers.
Sorry.
Get moving and shut up.
Shut up.
Gentry bristles at the admonishment and crosses the room towards large twin doors opposite him. He gives them a gentle tug, And again, to his surprise, they open.
Ilya, look! These doors lead outside. Could we have just walked in the front door from the beginning? I nearly drowned swimming in here.
Just because something opens from the inside doesn't mean it'll open from the outside, you twit. And since we went through all that trouble getting in, do us a favour and try to find something inside. Would you close them already?
All right. All right.
The two thieves prowl the perimeter of the room, approaching another door with the same indentation marks on its surface as the first. The same anticipatory warmth of the stone tickles Gentry's palm. He reaches his hand towards the door until Ilya smacks it away.
Ow! What was that for?
Something's not right here.
What? Do you see something? What is it?
No. Something's not right with you. How come these doors open for you and not me? You've been here before.
Of course not. Maybe this one will open for you. We don't know that they only open for me.
Ilya gives Gentry a flat look before making a show of struggling against the door. He finally steps aside, gesturing mockingly at it.
Huh.
You keeping something from me?
Yeah, right. I'm the one keeping something from you. And nearly everything worth taking in the last room just magically appeared in your pocket. You plan on sharing that with me?
The stone pulses approvingly. Ilya advances on his companion until their faces are inches apart. The stench of his stale breath hot against Gentry's face.
Not what I meant. This is my job, and I brought you on. Corvo trusted me with this.
All right, I get it.
I don't think you do, because you double-crossed me. You double-crossed him, you hear?
Double-cross? Ilya, what are you talking about?
I put that snake Thad on tailing Davos for a reason. You I brought because...
He stops, his cold, greedy eyes searching Gentry's face for answers that neither of them had.
Can I trust you or not?
Gentry avoids Ilya's gaze. It does not go unnoticed.
Ilya, you can trust me. You can trust me.
The threads of this selfish pact begin to fray at their carelessly woven edges. The stone in Gentry's pocket warms with glee.
We'll see. Well, on with it, will ya? Open it.
Gentry steps forward, mysterious warmth in his hand as he presses his palm against the door. The door swings open silently. Ilya stares at Gentry impassively, waiting. With a sigh, Gentry crosses into the next room.
Well, this looks promising.
It looks like a workshop.
A workbench stands against the wall across from them, laden with foreign items. Glass cases display bottled substances and alchemical equipment. Chests sit resolutely along the walls.
Start digging through these chests. I'll see what old Davos has stored in the cases. Ulfram will pay a lot for these. Those alchemist types are always buzzing around his shop.
Aren't we just here for Corvo's box?
Well,
shut up and look for it then. Don't know why you're so chafed at me grabbing shit if you're not even going to grab anything for yourself.
Ilya turns away, quickly lost in thought as he pulls elixirs off the shelf, stuffing the occasional one into his pack. Gentry turns, his own greedy eyes searching for valuables mere moments after questioning Ilya for the same. Oblivious to his own hypocrisy.
Looks like Davos is in the healing time.
Thad is right about Davos not being back until morning.
Gentry walks over to a glass display case. Potions and reagents, long pieces of metal that look like surgical instruments. He begins to turn away when he freezes. A small black box with golden inlay sits within the case. Slowly, he looks over his shoulder at Ilya. He's still distracted, now stuffing entire rows of bottles into another empty sack. Gentry slowly reaches into the case. Surely others beside Corvo would pay highly for this. His fingers brush against the dark metal box, smooth and icy. His heart pounds in his ears. Ilya is selfish, greedy. He's already pilfered enough to earn a small fortune. Gentry wraps his hand around the small box. Ethereal voices fill his mind, whispers of laughter, heartache, of secrets, and loss. Are these memories? He must move quickly. The coldness of the box begins to burn his skin. He quickly pulls it out of the cabinet, knocking a bottle to the ground where it shatters.
I told you to get the chest!
Before shoving the box into his pocket.
What have you got there?
What? You're the only one that gets a swipe at Davos's private stash. You're not the only one Ulfram buys from.
Is that right?
Gentry looks at Ilya's unreadable face. Ilya glances down at Gentry's pocket, where the icy Alder's coffer now sits.
What is it? A potion?
Yeah. A little green one. Not sure what it does.
Show me.
What? Why?
Time seems to crawl. Gentry's hand instinctively drifts towards his dagger. Ilya notices.
It's my loot. You've got plenty already. I'm not giving you mine too.
Don't care about your loot, Gentry. But that right there don't look much like a potion.
Ilya, we don't have time for this. What if Davos...
Gentry stops. Blood draining from his face. A shadowed behemoth stands in the doorway, unmoving. The gleam of torches dances in its eyes, and not just those on its face.
Ilya.
Ilya. Just show me what you got, Gentry. This doesn't have to get ugly.
Reflected flames shine over the creature's entire body. It steps forward, revealing its sewn-together patchwork frame. Dozens of faces, all eyes trained on Gentry, their slack-jawed mouths open, drooling. The golem trundles forward, its long arms nearly dragging across the stone floor. Its eyes continue to stare at Gentry, his own eyes locked in horror. A guttural moan comes from a mouth on the golem's shoulder.
Ilya!
Ilya whips around at the new voice, drawing his dagger. His eyes widen in fear, darting between the stitched-together abomination and the open doorway behind it.
What the fuck is that?
The golem lifts a massive arm, slamming it against Ilya. The man flies through the air, crashing against the wall and sinking down onto the workbench. The beast turns towards Gentry. Raising its arm again, it smashes into him, sending him hurtling into the chests and crates on the opposite side of the room. Ilya shakes his head clear, his vision focusing just in time to see a small dark object tumble from Gentry's pocket and skitter across the stone floor. Gentry does not move, his head lolling to the side. As the golem lumbers towards the unconscious Gentry, Ilya launches himself onto the creature's back, driving his dagger deep into its throat neck. It grasps for the thief, who scrambles around for its front, desperately stabbing at the cluster of eyes sewn into its belly. Black eye core spurts from the wounds. The golem's leg sweeps forward in a powerful kick, sending Ilya sprawling across the floor in front of the workbench.
Gentry! Wake up!
Gentry stirs. A mouth beneath one of the bleeding eyes speaks.
Gentry! Get the fuck up!
Gentry! Fucking get off your ass!
The golem advances on Ilya as another mouth gurgles. The golem grabs Ilya by the throat. Ilya kicks pathetically at the monster, precious air denied to his burning lungs. A mouth sinks its teeth into the flesh of Ilya's leg. A silent scream escapes his lips. Gentry gasps, thrust back to reality from blissful unconsciousness. A shard of wood sticks painfully out of his thigh. He looks at Ilya, whose eyes now bulge in their sockets. Gentry struggles to his feet, but freezes when he sees the small black box on the ground, a mere arm length away. Ilya reaches behind, grasping for anything that may give him a few more precious seconds of life. He grabs a quill and jams it repeatedly into the golem's arm, causing the beast to drop one hand from Ilya's throat.
Gentry, what the fuck are you waiting for?
Gentry looks up at Ilya's pleading face. The golem grabs Ilya's arm, forcing the quill from his grip. Gentry scrambles across the floor, snatching at the box and shoving it into his boot before looking up. Ilya's eyes are locked on him, his face a mix of confusion and betrayal, as the golem snaps his arm with a sickening crack. Gentry limps to the glass cabinet, snatching multiple bottles. Ilya hangs limply in the golem's clutches, his skin pale.
One of these has to do something! Come on! Come on! Come on, damn it!
Bottles repeatedly shatter against the golem until flesh begins to sizzle, smoke rising as liquid trickles down its form, digesting everything in its path. It drops Ilya on the table as it dissolves into a puddle of bile and viscera. Gentry staggers over to Ilya, shaking him awake.
Wake up! Come on, wake up!
What in the hells? What happened? Where is that... that thing?
It's... there. On the ground. I threw a bunch of Davos's bottles at it, and it just... melted. I think those were their faces. The people it killed. Look, we have to get out of here. What if there are more of those things? Gotta go.
Ilya slides off the table, cradling his arm against his chest. His boots land in the simmering puddle of gore beneath him. He glances down, disgusted.
We keep going.
What? Ilya!
We keep going. We don't finish this job. We're as good as dead.
If we stay here, we are dead. Look at us! Your arm is nearly snapped in half. I got a damn spear in my leg.
What's in your pocket?
Ilya, are you serious? We are.
I saw something come out, and you grabbing it while... while that thing had me.
Ilya,
this is time. Show me!
Suspicion lies thick upon the air. Gentry hesitates before pulling out the smooth stone, which vibrates in anger at being removed from its comfortable home.
It's the stone from the first room. I didn't want you to take it, like the rest.
Ilya plucks the stone from Gentry's hand, what? Turning it over in his own.
Doesn't feel warm to me. Must be pretty important to you. Going after it, in the middle of all that.
Ilya
tosses the stone back to Gentry, who quickly places it back in his pocket. Ilya's eyes flash down at Gentry's boots, before turning for the doorway.
We keep on. We're not leaving without that box.
Gentry stumbles after Ilya, his punctured thigh screaming with every step.
Ilya, I really think we should... Oh, God.
A man hangs against a pillar, suspended against a stone by a large hook pierced through his shoulder. His eyes stare lifelessly, his body riddled with trauma. Blood drips unnaturally loud into a pool that collects beneath him. Half of his face hangs loosely off the meat underneath. A single surgical laceration running below his chin and around to his ear.
Is that...
It's that.
Hearthful was created and written by Brian Kelly. Performances in this episode were portrayed by Chris Tester as Ilya, Sean Mendham as Gentry, Ian Russell as Davos, and Sarah Nightingale as the narrator. Music, editing, and sound design by Brian Kelly.